Hey, thanks for listening. This is the first Baltimore Sack Exchange episode. We had initially set this up as a Facebook Live question and answer session, but it was really our first episode of the podcast. So we'll have our initial intro and outro proper stuff in the following episodes, as well as a more formal schedule. But go ahead and join us here for our first episode live. So thanks everybody for joining us. It looks like we have one person on, which is probably me. starting strong. All right, there we go. Some people are coming on.
Gotta have a brick to lay the foundation, right?
Yeah, exactly. So thanks everybody for joining us. This is Ravens Wire. I'm Matthew Stevens. We have Lindsay and we have Michael. You probably know him better as Chibs on Twitter. We're going to be doing a little live Q&A, talking a little about the 53-man roster ahead of training camp and seeing what you guys think is going on, what questions you guys have for us about the Baltimore Ravens. I'll let you guys kind of reintroduce yourself here in a second.
Should I go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm Lindsay. I have been with Ravens Wire for, I think I started at the beginning of last season. And I also cover the NFL like by myself on my own. And then, yeah, you know me as Lindsay. Okay. I'm sure you do.
All right. That was shorter than I expected. I was not prepared.
What else am I supposed to say? Oh, you guys are really cutting into my bachelorette time?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
That's fair. I am Chibs Telford. Some of you know me as Michael Telford. Others of you know me as Chibs. Some people just know me as an asshole. I have been writing about various things for many moons. I started on my own site called NFL Chalk Talk. From there, I went to Bleacher Report. I've been to Inscriber Digital Magazine, WBLZ Media. Most recently, I was at Purple Rain Show. And now here I am just kind of hanging out, answering some questions. I look forward to seeing what questions people have, especially with Lindsay in the chat. That should be interesting.
Yeah. So, this is kind of our first little attempt at doing this here at Ravens Wire, but, perfect time to go ahead and do it personally. I think right with training camp getting ready to start in about 2 weeks or so. I think rookies come back the 11th and veterans show up the 19th when training camp officially kicks off. So we've got about, 2-3 weeks until everybody comes back to the practice field at the Under Armour facility. So perfect time to go ahead and just talk about what's going on and kind of introduce ourselves and get you guys prepared for the season and what's going on and what we've heard, what we've seen. We'll start off with the 53-man roster. I mean, at this point, heading into training camp, that's probably one of the bigger questions going on is who's going to make this team, who isn't. Rashad Perryman.
Hey.
Are you sick?
Be nice to go.
Oh, just a little cough going on. Actually, I like Rashad. We'll get to that in a little bit, but yeah, he's not making this team, let's be honest. Yeah, let's start off with the quarterbacks. I mean, who do you guys think is making this team for sure, and who isn't?
Ladies before gentlemen. Go ahead, Lindsay.
Of course.
We're starting at quarterback?
Yeah, we'll start off at quarterback.
Okay. Yeah, it's only the most important position on the team.
Yes. Joe Flacco, there's no reason why he's not going to start the season. That's already a given. For some reason, people automatically think just because Lamar Jackson was picked in the first round that he should start. But I mean, logistically there's, unless like Joe Flacco ends up getting hurt again, there's no possible way that Lamar Jackson gonna start, but he's definitely going to be the backup. And they've said before that they're going to, throw him on the field at different times to do different plays and stuff. And I don't see anything wrong with that, but I do think they need to keep that limited. So what do you guys think?
I mean, to kind of touch on that, I don't think that logic is very solid at all. Like, so people think that Lamar Jackson's going to start because he was picked in the first round. Joe Flacco was picked in the first round, and he wasn't supposed to start. the only reason he did was because of injuries. So their logic is, I mean, flawed at best. I wouldn't bet on seeing Lamar touch the field more than, I don't know, 4 or 5 times throughout the entire season.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting thing. I mean, obviously, I think we're all in agreement that Flacco is going to be the starter. They've come right out and said it. But where the question mark becomes is, you know, how much does Jackson see the field? They've been playing a lot of 2-quarterback sets, but they've also been talking about it an awful lot. And, you know, while the Ravens can be a little inept at times when it comes to strategy, I doubt their strategy is to let everyone know exactly what they're doing ahead of time. But who knows? You know, I certainly think I could see Jackson playing a lot in the red zone. Let him go ahead and use his legs there and, you know, use him as a diversion a lot of the times. But hopefully he'll get on the field. Hopefully he'll score some touchdowns. And hopefully that means kicking less field goals, as much as I like Justin Tucker. Now, let me ask you guys. So there's another veteran quarterback on this roster in Robert Griffin III. Does anyone see RG3 making this team?
Hell no.
No, I don't see it. I don't have him on my 53.
Yeah, I don't have him either. And maybe you guys are different on this one, but the Ravens typically don't carry 3 quarterbacks. They're going to need the spots for wide receivers, for linebackers, for all 700 cornerbacks they've got. So yeah, it would be weird for them to suddenly go ahead and put 3 quarterbacks on the roster, but. Who knows?
I mean, I could see it to the point where, like, if Lamar Jackson is not where they want him to be, that might be a different story. But, I mean, I can't see it in any logistical sense, because then you're cutting another depth player that is potentially more talented than RG3.
I agree.
All right, well, then cool. So we've got 2 quarterbacks. We all pretty much agree on that one. Let's go ahead and dip to running back. As of right now, I think everyone should be in agreement. Alex Collins is going to be the guy. Again, they've kind of said that outright, but who are the 2 people behind him?
Going with Buck Allen and Kenneth Dixon in that order. I've seen people say that Kenneth Dixon is going to take the starting job from Alex Collins. That's not feasible in my mind, honestly. I made my one hot take that I've made this entire offseason was that I would take Alex Collins over any rookie running back from the 2018 draft class. And that being said, there's some good rookie running backs, some rookie running backs that I think are better than both Buck and Kenneth Dixon. So I don't see either one of them taking the job. I mean, Alex is the only true workhorse back that's on the roster. Kenneth Dixon is shifty. He's fun to watch. He's not really a workhorse back with all the injuries. Buck Allen, he's more of a pass back. You're not going to keep him on the field for, you know, 3 downs.
How about you, Lindsay? Yeah. What are you thinking?
I don't think Alex Collins is going to have the year that he had last year. I mean, there's no possible way. But again, I don't think he's going to suck. You know, I don't think Kenneth Dixon's remotely as good as he is. And like you said, with like the injuries and stuff, like he's not as reliable either. So I definitely agree there.
Yeah, for some reason, everyone seems to have this thought in their head that Kenneth Dixon is just the greatest running back ever. And you know, he's shown a lot in a very short period of time, but he's also been suspended, technically speaking, twice. He's been injured now. Really, you know, while you saw a good bit in his rookie season, you saw that ability. You know, that was 2 years ago, and he's been through 2 suspensions and missed all of last season with a knee injury, which, you know, isn't always as easy to come back from as people seem to think it is. So, I mean, Buck Allen, Javorius Allen, I think did an excellent job last year backing up Collins and going ahead and carrying a lot of the third down load and being a wide receiver out of the backfield compared to Collins. I don't see why he wouldn't at this point. Now, maybe Kenneth Dixon does eventually overtake Allen, but I think it would take quite a bit for Collins to go ahead and lose that starting job.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
All right, wide receiver. Let's go ahead and just designate the next 30 minutes into wide receiver. All right, we'll start with you, Michael. What do you think? Who's making this team wide receiver?
All right, so it's not who makes the team that's going to be kind of a shock to people. It's where I have him.
Okay.
So Michael Crabtree, de facto number one. He's the possession guy. Unless Julio Scott far outweighs expectations, which I don't think is going to happen in year one, he's going to be the guy. Willie Snead out of the slot. Snead is being slept on by everybody, and I love it because he – I mean, when last year he had 8 catches, was not a great season, obviously. But before that, since he's been in the league, he's been a top 5 slot option. So he's the slot – excuse me. He's the slot wide receiver, no questions asked. Next, I think John Brown probably starts as the other outside guy, but I think Chris Moore takes it by midseason.
Okay.
I think Chris Moore will push John Brown for snaps to round out the roster. I mean, Jaleel Scott, Jordan Lasley, and then Tim White. Tim White strictly because of his special team contributions. I know everybody's like super hyped. Oh, Tim White's a great wide receiver. He made one catch for 30 yards that ended in a touchdown. Let's not take it too far, guys. That's like everybody that's like, oh, Kenneth Dixon's the best running back we have. No, he just had a decent rookie season. Stop.
All right.
That being said, I don't think we have Crabtree for more than 2 years. I think Jaleel Scott will take his job by maybe the end of year two.
All right. That's actually a hot take, but it is an interesting take on the wide receiver situation. How about you, Lindsay? Who do you have making this team? More importantly, probably who do you have not making this team, and then where do you have them going?
All right, so I pretty much had the same kind of idea that that you did, but I'm going to go with the guys who aren't going to make the team. I mean, who is Jalen Acklin? Who even is that? I've never heard of him before. Who is Andre Leverone? I don't know who that is. I know the one – what Posey, he was like a – was he a CFL guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a stud in the CFL.
So I know who he is. but, I mean, obviously, the elephant in the room, Breshad Perriman, is not making this team. If he does, I'm jumping off my roof and all there is to it.
His name is Ghost. Have some respect for the nickname.
I refuse to watch a team anymore that has him on the roster. I can't do it.
So
it's fair enough.
I'll let you know my 7 wide receivers that I have making this team, and actually it's going to differ a little bit from both you guys, and then I'll talk a little about Breshad Perriman in specific.
Really?
Because he's a guy that goes ahead and makes up. I'm not saying he's making the team. We'll talk about him specifically in a second. So of course I have Michael Crabtree. I agree with you, Michael. I think John Brown might not actually be the number 2 or number 3 guy that a lot of people are expecting him to be, both because, I mean, let's face it, he's very rarely been healthy, and he's primarily a deep guy, and the Ravens aren't exclusively a deep team. They like taking their shots, but they also like going ahead and giving their other guys, more targets underneath as well. So Willie Snead, I'm a little concerned about him, both because of his production last year, and he has a surprising number of drops when you look at his career, but I think Jaleel Scott, that's Jordan Lasley, and then Chris Moore, obviously, are the big ones. Where I differ is I think Jalen Acklin actually makes this team.
Tim White?
I do. And the reason why I say that is because if you're Baltimore, if you're going ahead and creating a depth chart, who do you have behind Willie Snead? If Snead goes ahead and breaks his ankle week one, who's your slot guy? You don't have
John Brown.
I don't think John Brown plays in the slot. I don't think that's where he would go.
He does. He excels outside, but he does play slot.
He can, but I think Jalen Acklin is a big-bodied, positive catcher. I mean, the guy can – he has a good number of catches. He has good hands. He's kind of built for that role. Now, he's a nobody.
We also have another guy that, I mean, we haven't talked about yet that could be a slot option too. I mean, I get where you're going with the Acklin.
And that's why I say that. And I did a wide receiver depth chart just recently on the Ravens Wire. And I even kind of mentioned in there, like, Acklin, I think, is a good fit for that reason. Now, that being said, that's probably going to want to be one of the bigger battles throughout training camp is for that 7th spot. The Ravens are probably keeping 7 guys. It's just a matter of who wins that last spot. And as we've seen in past years, anyone really has a shot at it, especially since Baltimore has never really had a lot of talent there. So, you know, who knows? Who knows? Now let's turn real quickly to Prashad Perryman.
Okay.
What would you like to talk about?
So, Prashad Perryman, I've gotten a little bit of flack for saying that he could possibly be on the trading block. If you're another team, maybe you like a guy who has insane speed, and say what you want about his hands or route running, the guy can run in a straight line really fast. And we've seen tons of wide receivers in this league.
So who, my pitbull.
But you know what? We've seen a lot of wide receivers in this league who
probably
can't
more
catch.
Aggressive.
Ouch. Ouch, man. Probably gets hurt a lot less, too.
Yeah.
But that being said, I don't think we would have the same outlook exactly if Prashad Perryman was a sixth or seventh rounder. I think he'd be that guy that makes this team strictly on the fact that he's a 4.2 40-yard dash runner.
Well, here's the thing, man. There's so many people that I've been battling with. Like, I'll just say it like it is. They're homers. There's everyone on this team always has a shot to be really good, man. I hate it so much. And there's people that are genuinely like, no, this is the year. This is the year that Perryman breaks out. It breaks out of what? Breaks out of his Ravens uniform? Because he's not going to be here. I'm like, he put up wide receiver 3 numbers the only year that he produced anything. He was a healthy scratch for most of the year last year. I mean, you let a guy that never took meaningful offensive snaps in Chris Moore take your spot, you don't deserve to be on this team. I absolutely do think that we should package him with, say, another bum, Kamale Correa, and get them both out of here and make some room for guys that can actually play and contribute.
Fair enough. How about you, Lindsay? What are you thinking?
Yeah. I mean, like I said before, I'm jumping off my roof if he's on this roster in like a couple weeks. Because, I mean, like he said, like you let a guy take your spot like that, and he just hasn't really he hasn't shown any fight. And I know he's been hurt, and like people will say that and use that as an excuse. But I mean, besides that, like you can't like he couldn't catch in minicamp 2 weeks ago. Like, yeah. What?
Not to mention, he's getting bullied by the smallest dude on the defense. Tavon Young is bullying this dude out of bounds, and Tavon Young is like half his size.
And now, where I'll differ with this, because I agree with you guys. I don't think he's making this team. I think the Ravens know that. They've got, I believe, I don't have the numbers up in front of me, but I think it's $600,000 in a roster bonus to pay in like 2 weeks. So he's not going to be on this team. And if he has, well, believe me, there'll be an article on why that's a dumb move to pay him $600,000 to make it.
Yeah. When the Under Armour Center burns down, you'll know why.
But I think for another team that needs a deep threat, that potential. And when we talk about the NFL, we talk about potential. Look, if we go back to it, Prashad Perryman was a first or second rounder by most people throughout the draft. He had the same problems. He was injury prone. He couldn't catch to save his life. And he was a terrible route runner. But he was fast and he's tall. And that was what gave him that potential. Now for another team, I'll pay you a seventh rounder to go ahead and take a guy who's, you know, over 6 foot tall, is super fast, has a relatively big body, and I'll go ahead and pay him pennies on the dollar to hopefully turn him into something. If we look at Timmy Jernigan last year, it's a very similar type of thing.
Well, Timmy Jernigan produced, though. That's the difference.
He produced, like, but not up to his level.
Mad that Jernigan was leaving. They're not mad now because he got injured again. Which I don't remember the specifics of that, but he's injured again, and the Eagles might not even keep him. But there's a difference there. I mean, you're talking about a John Ross with Rashad Perryman. Essentially.
That's exactly it. And John Ross was a first-round pick. I think if you go ahead and if I'm – I can't pick a team here because I don't know all the rest of the rosters and where they're at. But if you've
Jaguars.
Got – Jaguars, fine. If I'm the Jaguars, here's a seventh-round pick. I'll take him. If he doesn't make the team, it doesn't matter. It ultimately – what did I lose? A seventh-round pick on a guy who can run really fast? Hopefully it pans out. If not, then congratulations. You're now a kick returner.
But he can't catch the ball. How's he going to return kicks?
You let it hit the ground first, and then you go ahead and just dive on it.
He does it anyway.
That's true. It's better than knocking it in a buyer's hands.
Other player's hands.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we won't even go there because that's still a sore spot for me when people bring up Joe Flacco's interception numbers. And it's like, Breshad Perriman was 2 of them.
He was literally, Breshad Perriman was responsible for more interception yards than he was
receiving yards. Reception yards.
So my buddy Marcus actually had a good question. What about Grant in the slot?
No. I think if they were to go anywhere with that, so either they I think Jalen Acklin is the perfect fit for it. I think it's the guy that they would typically have. If they don't, then they'll move Mark Andrews. Technically speaking, he's still a tight end, but they're just going to play him out of the slot anyway. I think that's just who they would put there.
That's the guy I was referencing earlier when I said a guy we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah. But, you know, I think, honestly, I think anyone on this team has a shot at this point, minus Breshad Perriman. It's, yeah, I feel bad for the guy. Honestly, we were talking about before we went live. I kind of feel bad for the poor guy because he's been injured. Now, granted, some of that, you know, I was at training camp when he first got injured. You look at it and go, all right. And then the constant, you know, he'll be back. Okay, he missed the season. But that being said, it's like he's kind of gotten a rough deal to a certain degree, but I don't know. It's a tough one. So let's go ahead and transition off of wide receiver. To those that are with us, we'll be kind of answering a bunch of questions a little bit later on. As we see them, I'll try to kind of pick them out, but we'll just kind of do a large live Q&A session at the end as well, just to make sure that we kind of answer as many questions as possible. So, tight end. Michael, where are you going with this? Who's making this team?
I got three, man. Really? Got Hayden Hurst. Yep, three. Hayden Hurst, Mark Andrews, Nick Boyle. I do have four. However, I'm not sure who the fourth is. Max Williams can't stay healthy. Darren Waller can't stay on the field. Neither one of them are particularly good blockers. So that leaves who? Maley and Kaiser?
Yeah.
Those, like, you want to pick from those guys? Feel free. I like Kaiser more than I like Maley.
Well, he did catch the ball at one time.
He did. And he has special teams ability. But that's it. Like, what are you going to do? You know, we don't have... We have Hurst, Andrews, and Boyle. That's it. I mean, Max can't stay on the field. He hurts himself more than he catches balls. He's had a great summer, or he's had a strong summer. But, like, that's not going to translate to the – as soon as he puts pads on, he breaks a toenail. He's out for 6 weeks. You can't – I understand that he's an early-round pick. What was he, second round or whatever? And you want to give that guy as many chances as you can, but – with the new regime in Baltimore with Eric DaCosta, like, you can't keep giving these guys chances. Like, he needs to live up to what he said and change the roster and change how he handles contracts. And Max Williams just isn't worth it. That's another guy that I think could benefit from a fresh start somewhere else. I don't think it's here. I think if we have Hurst, we have Andrews, we have Boyle, and then we keep Kaiser or something like that, I think Kaiser is perfectly acceptable as a TE4.
Okay, interesting. Do you differ at all, Lindsay, or are you kind of going in the same boat?
No, I feel the same way. Nick Boyle's a good blocker. That's about it. He's also unreliable. So, yeah, that's the only other thing I have to add.
Okay.
More athletic than people give him credit for, though.
Yeah. But he's also dumb with his decision-making.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, the only thing I differ is I do have four, and I have Williams making this team. He's 24 years old. Now, granted, he's in the final year of his rookie deal, but that makes him cheap, and he's still only 24. He still has that – I mean, in all fairness, he could have been drafted back in April at that age. That's still a lot of potential there. That's still a lot of talent there. Now, granted, he does get hurt an awful lot, but maybe going ahead and sidelining him a lot will also help in having him be a depth player. Now, when I look at the snap counts – weirdly enough, Max Williams actually played 315 snaps on offense last year, 29% of the time, and 100 snaps, 21 and some change percent of special teams. So they actually had him in there, it looks like, as a blocker last year, which is kind of surprising in its own weird way. And PFF actually has Williams rated a lot higher than you'd think. take that for what you take it as. But I think Williams makes his team simply just for his potential, and to have that backup as another guy who could probably do a little bit of everything. But he's much like a lot of other people on this team that we'll be talking about shortly, is kind of nearing that point of either you figure it out now or you're gone.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I get it. I understand like where you're coming from. I just don't much like the fact that Williams could make this team.
Yeah, I think it's tough. I mean, there's a few different roster spots that I think that are open, that it's just whoever shows it is where it's going to go. It could be at wide receiver. It could be at tight end. It could be at linebacker. There's a few spots that I think are just floating open right now, and Williams is going to have a strong summer for it. But I think he could make this team, and I think he will. All right.
Boo.
So, I know. Offensive line, who's making this team, who isn't? Lindsay, we'll start with you.
God. This is like...
God is not making this team.
It'd be awesome if he did. I'd bet he'd be a great right tackle.
All right, we'll leave that one alone.
Let me just say that I still cannot believe that James Hurst is still on this team.
And got paid.
I can't. That's so unfathomable. So Ronnie Stanley's obviously going to make it. Marshall Yanda will be back, which is big. I think Alex Lewis makes it. Orlando Brown probably makes it. That's probably my top pick. Did I cover center? Matt Skura? Yeah. I think the top guys pretty much make it. But they might do some shifting because somebody's like knee's gonna get blown out. Somebody's gonna hurt their quad. It just always seems to happen to us. So I think Alex Lewis is the if he does stay healthy, he's like kind of the piece that can be like rotated back and forth between. And even though I hated on him before, James Hurst is kind of that way too. He can kind of play like different positions. As long as he's not tearing the ACL of his quarterback, I'm good with that. So, but yeah, I think the top guys pretty much make it. The rest of the guys are obviously there for depth and all that, but, Marshall Yanda being back is huge. And a lot of people are kind of, I think, overlooking him there because he is getting older, but yeah.
Okay. How about you, Michael? Do you disagree with anybody? I can't imagine you're going to disagree with Hurst, but do you go
nine,
anywhere different?
Man. I'm keeping nine.
Okay.
Ronnie Stanley.
Okay.
Alex Lewis,
gotcha.
Matt Skura.
Skura.
Marshall Yanda. I have OBJ penciled in at right tackle.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Depth players, James Hurst, for obvious reasons. He actually put on a pretty good show this year, moving around, solidified himself at left guard a little bit. So I'll give him a little bit of faith as long as he's not Hurst the worst again. I think Goose 2 makes the team for sure. Assuming he can recover from that gruesome injury all the way. Yeah. Sounds like he's doing really well. So I think Bozeman and Sennett make the team. Sennett might actually go to PS now that it's further on in the year. Like I said, I did this April 30th, so I was a little ahead of myself. I think Bozeman makes the team as depth center, and I think Sennett probably goes to PS. Center is going to be the battle to watch. I feel like I really hope that Nico wins that position. I like Skura. He's a big mountain of a young man. I don't think he is cerebral enough to play the center position.
That's fair. I mean, I think so. For my, I have nine as well. I have Ronnie Stanley at left tackle. I have James Hurst at left guard because he did so well last year, or at least not as terrible as we've seen him in the past, and that warranted.
He was rated in the 80s.
Yeah, he wasn't terrible. He wasn't great. I mean, he wasn't a Pro Bowl player, but he was, I think, worth, if he's able to play up to that, he was worth the 4 years, $17 million. I have Matt Skura at center simply because he's the guy with experience right now and the one that has been able to stay healthy. Yanda at right guard and Orlando Brown Jr. at right tackle. I think that just makes sense with Hurst bouncing to left guard. You go ahead and put your third-round guy, and who was supposed to be a first-round guy at right tackle, and you go ahead and call that your starting line. Alex Lewis, I see making his team, barring him getting hurt again. Mainly because, I mean, he can play literally every position on the line. That's a guy that the Ravens salivate over. Bradley Bozeman, you need a guy at center who is a center. He's probably not going to start this year, but in a year or two, he's a guy that's probably going to go ahead and take whoever is in that starting spot and move them to depth and be the starting center. I have Nico Siragusa taking that backup job, and then I have Jermaine. I'm going to butcher his last name. Aluminum. There we go. Jermaine Aluminum. I have him staying also because he can play guard and tackle. And, the back end of my list, the depth guys I have are playing a bunch of different positions, which, again, Baltimore just loves, especially Greg Roman.
Yeah, that's true. Greg Roman loves his big guys that can play every single position.
Yeah. I do also, I agree with you, I have Greg Sinat going ahead and heading to practice squad, though.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it just makes sense at this point. He doesn't have a spot.
Exactly, but he's a guy that has all the physical tools.
Unless he gets hurt in camp, then he has a spot.
Right, and then if it gets down to the point where we have to use Sinat, we might as well kiss the season goodbye.
But you know what?
Being honest,
if at the beginning of last season, if you had pointed out that Yanda was going to be out, the guys that were going to be starting were going to be starting come week 17. There's no way you would have seen that team making even to the level they did.
We were a top 10. Offensive line last season, and we were top five in pass protection, which is wild,
right? So it's like the team did an excellent job of the next man up, and that's what happens when you build up enough offensive line talent. Who gets hurt and the next guy has to step up for a decade, you eventually go ahead and craft a bunch of guys who can play all over the place and play at least halfway decently and have experience. So that injury bug over the last 5 years has really actually kind of helped them both at offensive line and at cornerback, which we'll talk about in a minute. All right,
fair
so
enough.
We go from offense, we're going to go to outside linebackers. Lindsay, who do you have making this team? I can't imagine Terrell Suggs gets cut, but maybe you'll surprise me.
Now, Terrell Suggs, I mean, I think there's all this talk about him, like, is he or isn't he a Hall of Fame player? I don't really know. I don't really have an opinion on that right now, but he is.
Yeah.
Well, he definitely is getting overlooked to the fact that he is this old and he's playing at a level that is, like, unfathomable. So, obviously he doesn't get cut. Za'Darius Smith, meh. I think he makes it. Who else is there? I don't know. Who do you guys have?
I have Judon and Tim All Williams, right, so personally.
Okay.
I have Terrell Suggs, obviously. Sizzle's going to stay 37 years old. He's still playing at a phenomenal level. He's essentially the Tom Brady of the defense.
Yeah.
Matt Judon. Hey, buddy, if you're listening to this, hopefully you don't want to fight me anymore. I'm not scared of much, but I'm not fighting an NFL linebacker.
Whoop his ass, Michael. Whoop his ass.
Yeah, well, I could just – there's a long story about how that started. Essentially, he threatened to, quote-unquote, put a beam on Pat McAfee, and I was just trolling him for getting upset over words on the internet.
Yeah.
To the point where he wanted to shoot an ex-NFL punter. So that's how that started. Bowser, I think Bowser makes the team. He's incredibly athletic. Would not shock me to see him take some snaps at inside linebacker as well. Tim Williams makes the team, strictly, like you said earlier, based off potential. And I think Za'Darius Smith makes the team, but I think Za'Darius Smith makes the team so they can show people that he's decent and then trade him later.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it seems like we're all kind of in agreement on that one. I think Za'Darius Smith makes his team. They love having veterans, and as much as Judon did last year, he's still young. Tim Williams essentially didn't play last year. Same thing with Tyus Bowser. They both didn't really get a lot of snaps last year. So having Smith to go ahead and go with Suggs as just a depth guy with experience, that's the Ravens all over, regardless of whatever talent else is on the roster. They're going to go with a guy with the experience.
Yeah. I want to take a second to give a shout out to Garnett, who just joined us in the comment section. Garnett is a Marine. He's over in Japan right now. So thanks for your service, my brother.
Yeah, thank you very much, Garnett. Appreciate you joining us all the way from Japan, you said. That's, wow.
What time is it over there?
Yeah.
He doesn't fucking sleep. He doesn't sleep, I'm convinced. That one slipped.
It's okay. It happens. All right, so let's go from outside linebacker. Well, actually, you know what? Do you want to go ahead and
inside?
We're 35 minutes into this. Do you want to go ahead and
oh, yeah, let's do
take
that.
A quick break. All right, so
let's do the thing.
This is this started out as a live Q&A thing, but in talking to Michael and Lindsay, what we've decided to do is we're actually going ahead and starting a podcast, folks. That's right. This is the first episode of the Baltimore Sack Exchange.
No jokes, please.
It's a good name. It took 10 minutes for us to figure it out. With that also being said is...
So we're set in stone with this.
Yeah, it's stuck. It's already in. There's graphics made for it and everything. But that being said, Michael isn't just a special guest today. I'll let you go ahead and take it away.
All right, kids. So I have taken the next step in my career, and I will be joining USA Today and the Ravens Wire. I will also be the host of this little podcast. It is called the Baltimore Sack Exchange. The main cast will consist of myself, Matthew, and Lindsay, with special guests here and there, NFL interviews, breaking news, your general run-of-the-mill shenanigans that come from, people like me. So I look forward to interacting with the new fans, the old fans, the ones that have followed me over here, and hopefully bringing you everything you want to see as far as Baltimore Ravens go.
I got so excited about that I just spilled water all over myself just now.
I don't think I could have scripted that any better.
That's how good this is. It's just water everywhere. It's just crazy over here now. So... yeah, so folks, we're going to be doing this, we're going to be trying to do this, I think, every week during the off season, and then we're going to try to go ahead and jump to two a week. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here, but yeah, exactly. So, so you'll be seeing, or at least hearing a lot of us, because I'm not pretty enough to be on camera, but so we'll be doing this pretty regularly for you guys, and we'll kind of get into some other specifics in future episodes. And letting you guys know exactly how to best get a hold of us or best go ahead and listen to us. So congratulations, guys. This is, I guess, the first episode, technically speaking. All right, but enough with that. Let's go ahead and go back to inside linebackers because that's really what people are here for. They don't care about us.
I don't care about us either. I mean,
That's fair. All right, Michael, where are you at with inside linebackers?
So, Kenny Young, obviously the Rook, makes the team. CJ Mosley will be here at least one more year. I think that deal gets done sooner rather than later. I think people need to stop panicking about that. We're not going to let Mosley walk. We got a projected $40 million cap space this year coming up, projected $120 million the year after that. If you think we're going to let one of the best players on our defense walk, you should find another team to cheer for. I think Peanut makes the team strictly from experience. Peanut, his name's Patrick. I'm not going to attempt to pronounce that.
Onwasor.
Onwasor?
Onwasor. Yes. He's a dinosaur.
Yeah, all right. Dinosaur.
Everybody do the Peanut, dinosaur.
Peanut from Jurassic Park will make the team. Kenny Young will make the team. CJ Mosley makes the team. I think that's all we have room for. I don't think Correa stays as inside linebacker. I don't think any of the undrafted free agents make it. I think we just stick with those three.
Okay.
Lindsay, where are you thinking? You along the same lines, or do you have Korea making this?
Oh, no, he's awful. He's god-awful. Yeah, I'm on the same page as that.
First episode, and we're already making fans. actually, I completely agree with you guys. It's Mosley, Peanut, Kenny Young, Albert McClellan, because of his experience. I personally did not have space for Korea. I'd like to keep him. I think he's another one of those guys that doesn't have a spot necessarily, but has the talent to do something. But at this point,
it's Korea, not Korea. Let's leave Korea.
Whatever. You know who I'm talking about. You know, at this point, I didn't have space for him. And as sad as that was, because he doesn't have a spot, I can't force him in the lineup somewhere. He let Onawasor snatch his job from an undrafted free agent, go ahead and take his job. I mean, we were talking about Breshad Perryman getting taken down by, Moore, but at least Moore was drafted. So, you know, as well as Peanut did last year, he's still an undrafted guy, and he took the job. So that doesn't speak very well for anybody else. Safety. I can't imagine there's a whole lot of disagreements here, but what are you guys thinking in terms of safety? Okay. All right.
You go first then.
Yeah. There you go.
So, I mean, my man Eric Weddle, of course, the absolute monster that is Tony Jefferson. I don't care what anybody says. He was used wrong. He is a beast.
I agree.
Chuck Clark. Deshaun Elliott.
Okay.
So you don't have Anthony Levine.
As much as I like Anthony Levine, I think this might be the time to move on. I think Chuck Clark is growing into a bigger role. He can play the same type of safety that Anthony Levine can. He can play dime backer. I think we go with the young guy that's showing that he has a lot of talent instead of the older guy.
Okay. Interesting. How about you, Lindsay?
I kind of saw Levine over Chuck Clark. But hearing you say it, it kind of makes more sense. And I kind of feel like the Ravens will kind of go in that direction too. But again, this is before camp. Like, Chuck Clark could break his neck. So there's Anthony Levine. But that was my only.
Yeah. I'm in agreement with you on that one, Lindsay, but I can see it going both ways. That being said, you know, Levine he's a free agent after the 2019 season, so he might be another one of those guys that is maybe up for the trade table. You know, he's played well. He can play all over the secondary. And, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. I don't think he's certainly not a starter with Weddle and Jefferson there. I mean, those are your two guys. Deshaun Elliott, you drafted him for a reason. He's a project, but you drafted him for a reason. So really, it comes down to Clark and Levine. And at this point, I personally had Levine because of experience. But, I think you could save. Let me look at his number real quick. Looks like you can save about $1.2 million by cutting him. So, you know, that's a little extra cap space that could potentially roll over into next year, which is huge. If Clark does well, I think that makes a lot of sense. Cornerbacks. They have currently 11 designated cornerbacks on this roster, on the 93-man roster as of right now.
How many?
Make it 11 designated cornerbacks. They have a few defensive backs that play all over the place, but corners, just 11.
You can never have too many corners.
The Ravens proved that wrong by having 11. Who do you have making this team? Because there's no way that you have 11 unless you want to go ahead and have, you know, Anthony Averett go ahead and play in a long snapper all of a sudden.
Don't fight it. Jimmy Smith, obviously.
Okay.
Yeah.
Barring him going to injured reserve.
Shh, hush your mouth. I wish people would stop putting that in the universe. This is his year. Jimmy Smith, Marlon Humphrey, Tavon Young, obviously.
Okay. Yes.
Brandon Carr, depth player. Averett, depth player. Kennedy, depth player.
Okay. How about you, Lindsay?
I kind of feel the same way, except I might swap. I might put Jalen Hill in there, I think. I think he had an okay year last year, despite him being out for however many games that was.
Games or whatever.
Yeah, but I see him as kind of like a depth player, not death. I'm not talking about Jimmy Smith.
Ouch.
I don't know about Brandon Carr, though. That's a guy that I'm kind of not sure he makes the team or not. Because I think they might put the younger guys ahead of him just because they're younger.
Yeah, so they are younger, but here's the thing with Carr. So he's never missed a game in his entire career, and he had a better season last year than he had in any two seasons combined with the Cowboys. Like, so Carr gives him that reliability, and everybody wants to, like, bash Carr for when he was matched up against number one wide receivers. He shouldn't have been matched up against number one wide receivers. That should have been Marlon Humphrey, because Marlon Humphrey proved that he could do it. And then they wouldn't switch him. Once the number one moved over to Brandon Carr, they just let him get tore up. So it gave Brandon Carr a bad look. He's not a number one corner type of guy. I understand that they were hesitant about putting Marlon Humphrey in there, but you drafted him 16th overall for a reason. Let the man play. I think Brandon Carr makes a team, if nothing else, just as that safety net for if Jimmy, you know, breaks a finger or something.
When?
hopefully Smith doesn't, because I mean Pro Football Focus has Smith and Marlon Humphrey rated as two of their top five cornerbacks of last year. So if both of them are healthy, I mean, you have the makings for the best secondary in the league, bar none. That being said, as Smith has not been very known for his health, and that's where Brandon Carr does come in at. I will also say this too, and we talked a little, you just talked a little about Carr not being as bad as everyone kind of says he is. The few plays that he did get burned was primarily because somebody else didn't do their job, and the safeties had to go ahead and crash down to go ahead and cover that. Now, that being said, is that's partly on the safety, and that's partly on the other cornerback that didn't do his job. But, you know, yeah, Carr on Antonio Brown, I'm sorry. I don't care who you are, even Jimmy Smith, even Marlon Humphrey. That's not a win every single play. It sucks.
No,
it does.
But all right. So, you know. So here's the thing, right? I got an interesting stat for you. So Antonio Brown versus everybody in the league except for Baltimore, right? So against 31 other teams, he's rated somewhere around 90, okay?
Okay.
Against Baltimore, his career rating is like mid-70s, which is – I think average on PFF.
I mean, that is a huge difference.
Yeah. Jimmy has a history of locking down AB. Carr can't do that. Marlon Humphrey probably could. I'd like to see him try. That would make me very happy if we had two corners that were like, yeah, no, not today, Antonio. Yeah.
But that being said is, you know, during the season last year, I specifically pointed out, and I can't remember exactly what play it was or what game it was, but Carr had gotten beaten deep, and it was the end of the world. Everybody was, you know, ready to go ahead and cut Carr. But when you looked at the play, it was Maurice Kennedy that missed his assignment. He had slipped. He had something that happened to him where he didn't cover his guy, and Weddle actually had to go ahead and come down to cover that guy that was wide open in the middle of the field. Not the smartest decision, but it's you do what you do. That being said,
that was the 4th-and-12 play against the Bengals.
I think
I was going to say, was that the Bengals?
That might have been
the Bengals winning touchdown game.
It happened a few times throughout the season, and Carr kept getting ragged on because of a few big plays. But he played fairly well overall, just minus those big plays. I don't think he's a starting cornerback at this point with Humphrey and Smith, but he's a lot more serviceable than people give him credit for. That being said,
yes.
I do also have him on the trade table because it would be really great to get $3 million back if you're Baltimore. You need that cap space. And if Tavon Young, Jalen Hill, Averett, Maurice Kennedy, any of those guys go ahead and show a proclivity to be able to play and stay healthy, which none of them have so far, you know, I think Carr is kind of the guy that's on the outs. I have Tavon Young, Hill, and Averett on there. I actually have Kennedy not making the team, but if there's any roster room, that's probably the first guy I think they go ahead and bring back, regardless of who else is out there.
Fair enough.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
That's my line.
Let's go to the best part of this team, special teams.
Yeah.
You skipped an entire group.
Oh, I did. I did. We'll get to that in a second. I have a strange feeling that's its own little fight. So we'll go to special teams where we should all agree on this. It's Justin Tucker, Sam Cook, Sam Cock, whatever you want to call them, and Morgan Cox. Those guys aren't going anywhere anytime soon, right?
No.
No, we're going to get rid of Sam Cook and take the new punter that can kick 70-yard field goals. Haven't you been listening to the Ravens fans? That's what we're going to do because it makes perfect sense, right?
He is known for being able to go ahead and boot the ball pretty well as a punt, too. So, you know, I don't think it's going to happen.
You guys are going to quickly learn that I'm not a fan of our fans.
We have fans.
Get that,
that
out of the way right now.
I you know, having covered a bunch of different teams, I love our fans, but they are fans that are on two very different extremes at all times. There's not a lot of in the middle. It's either Flacco is horrible, and you know what? You should just go ahead and take him out back and just finish it off. Or he's the best quarterback that's ever played the game. Go ahead and just give him rings from here on out because there's no point in stopping it. Pay him a bazillion dollars a year.
Yeah, he's obviously better than Aaron Rodgers. I mean, come on.
Exactly. Tom Brady, who? Right. But, you know, he falls a lot more in the realm of Matt Ryan-esque.
I had to say it
just for Lindsay's reaction. So yeah, all right, so special teams, there's not going to be any surprises there. I can't see it. Do you think they keep anybody designated for a special teams for return?
Ooh, maybe that's where White fits in.
Yeah.
Well, they got Chris Moore too. Chris Moore can also go ahead and return kicks and punts.
Yeah.
It's a toughie. It's a toughie. And
but
they've been talking
Chris
it up.
Chris Moore is pushing John Brown for snaps, so like,
yeah,
at least by how my logic went. So if Chris Moore is on the field instead of John Brown, then you're not going to risk him on special teams as much, especially if Chris Moore is on the field instead of John Brown because John Brown's hurt, because any risk hurting Chris Moore is just not great.
I think that's fair.
I think maybe that's an Acklin or a White or something like that.
Yeah, I definitely think that's fair. I think, you know, that's going to be the spot in which if there's eight wide receivers that deserve to be on this team, they'll create a spot for a returner to go ahead and stay there, but really be able to keep eight wide receivers. Where that goes elsewhere in terms of other people being gone, you know, we'll see as we get into training camp. But as of right now, I personally don't have one, but who knows? Defensive line. Brandon Williams is making this team. Let's get that out of the way. Who else is making this team? We'll start with you, Lindsay.
Oh.
That's right. You're in the spotlight now.
I think Michael Pierce gets in there.
Okay.
I think he's my top pick for nose tackle. Willie Henry, I guess.
Okay.
Kid's going to be a stud.
Yeah. I guess Chris Wormley would be my other one.
So those are your four main guys that are going to be on that line. Okay.
And then I guess I keep Siler as a like depth player.
Okay.
Is that how you say his name? Siler?
I have no clue. We're just going to say Siler.
Okay.
That guy.
The seventh rounder.
Yep.
Yeah. So, all right. That's a good starting lineup. Maybe you know, somebody bounces around a little bit. How about you, Michael? Who are you thinking?
I'm keeping six, man. Brandon Williams for sure. We paid him $54 million. It's a little bit overpaid, but you can't deny the difference he makes as a run stopper.
Yeah.
Or swallowing up two guys at once. Willie Henry is going to make a crazy impact this year. He really started to come on last year. Proud of that kid. Michael Pierce is going to stay. Are we including defensive ends? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So Brent Urban is here to stay. We just paid him. I don't think we're going to cut him. He was coming on strong before, you know, he tore his vaginal muscle or whatever. Chris Wormley has not reached his potential yet. I don't think we cut him. Sealer looks like a five technique guy to me. I think we'll keep him as depth, but I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up on practice squad.
Okay. I have Williams, I have Pierce, I have Henry. Those three guys are pretty much a lock to make this team at this point. I have Chris Wormley. He didn't play a lot last year, but he's one of those guys that you keep hearing his name as somebody who could get a lot more snaps this year, who could go ahead and make that leap up in 2018. I have Brent Urban. You signed him to a one-year deal, at the very least to limp you through until next year, where hopefully somebody else can go ahead and take over, or all of a sudden he's able to stay healthy, and then what we've seen out of training camp and practice out of him, and even for the few games that he was healthy last year, all of a sudden becomes 16 games. That's huge. Urban, I think, is probably one of the more underrated players on this team when healthy. Sadly, that just hasn't been the case for him, but seeing him in practice, he takes up an entire pass. He takes up two passing lanes, really.
He is
giant.
He is a giant person.
He's a mountain of a man.
And that's one thing saying about like football players, like, oh, they're all big. Seeing him in person and seeing him on the defensive line, it's night and day. It's like watching like one of us go ahead and play against like Pee Wee football. It's huge. And you can't teach size, honestly. I also have Patrick Ricard.
I have him as a fullback.
I do, but I have him kind of playing both. They like, again, players that can play more positions. And he did well last year as a fullback, actually. So I think that's a way for them, just like we were talking about with wide receivers, maybe stashing one on special teams, technically. I think that's their way to go ahead and get six defensive linemen on the team while really only having five.
So here's somebody I think we've all overlooked. Nobody thinks Albert McClellan's going to make this team?
I actually do have him on my team.
What about Bronson Cafusi?
I do not. Okay. You know what? When you can't go ahead and play last year, whether that because of injury, whether that because whatever, he couldn't be active, and you have no defensive ends. Your only remaining like defensive end can't see the field. That's a problem. That's saying something. Now he could turn the tide. He can go ahead and be a different player this year. But, he's gonna have to do something in preseason and training camp to warrant that roster spot. Because they proved last year. I don't think they really needed him. They didn't do well last year, but they didn't need him anyway.
Right. So I have a not on list.
Ooh, okay.
Jermaine Aluminum did not make my list. Okay. Bam Bradley did not make my list.
Yeah.
Bam Bradley is now another intriguing inside linebacker prospect that I wasn't really thinking about when I made the list. So that might change. Max Williams did not make my list. Andrew Dinal did not make my list. Albert McClellan, Bronson Cafusi, Jalen Hill, Vince Maley, Kamele Correa, Debbie Arpozy, Quincy, Adeboyejo, who is now on PUP.
Yeah.
And Robert Griffin III, Debbie Arpozy, and then the other 80 wide receivers that we have right now. all those guys did not make the list.
All right.
But I think Bradley might be the dark horse on that list to maybe stick around at ILB, just because there's so much uncertainty at that position. If there's one position on the roster that I'm scared of right now, it's inside linebacker, because we got torn up against tight ends across the middle last year.
Yeah. I think
CJ Mosley cannot. He's too big. He's too big to stick with people over long periods of time. I love the guy. That's his knock, man, is his coverage ability.
Well, you also can't expect him to play literally every snap on defense and then do everything on defense. I mean, at some point, you're going to see some wear and tear somewhere, whether that be through coverage, getting too tired, or just not being able to cover people. Or you're going to see that effect in his run-stopping ability. I'd much rather have him focused on playing the middle of the field and playing toward the line of scrimmage than trying to go ahead and cover Le'Veon Bell. Have someone dedicated to that.
Yeah, you guys didn't follow me back when I was talking about this because, you know, you hated me. So I was super stoked when we picked Kenny Young, mainly because of his coverage ability, because CJ Mosley's best years came when Darryl Smith was there and was able to cover. Like, if you let CJ Mosley do what he does and put a pure coverage will linebacker next to him, the results are phenomenal. So we don't even need this other guy to, like, do anything that CJ does. We just need him to cover. That's it. And CJ can do everything else.
And you know what? I think a lot of people have been focusing on it has to be an inside linebacker. I think Tyus Bowser could be that guy from outside linebacker on passing downs. Maybe you go ahead and bounce him inside. I think he could play both sides. So, you know, that way you can go ahead and kind of play a little bit of everything. But it's going to take – somebody has to go ahead and make that step up this year for sure in coverage. And that could be – it could be Bowser. It could be – I don't think Anwasar is the guy to do it, but I've been surprised before. But they've got to figure somebody to go ahead and do it. And it'll be interesting to see what happens at both inside and outside linebacker this year. There's a lot of talent there. Somebody's not going to make this team that should.
Agree.
All right. Let's answer some questions because we're starting to lose followers and whatnot. So let's answer some of these questions and then get the hell out of here.
All right, guys. So go ahead and start asking us questions. I'm going to go ahead and tweet this out as well just so that way we can start doing this again. So start getting questions in and I'll answer them or we'll start answering them in just a second.
Dude, the Warriors got Boogie. That Warriors team is so stupid. It's so dumb.
All right. So I'll start going back. DeMarcus Cousins just signed with Golden State, so you got that going for you.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Yeah, okay.
God, never listen to me, Matt.
You know, I don't. That's why I blocked
you. Now you got me blocked in real life. Yeah, exactly.
All right, so Aklin in the slot. I got some questions on that. Kenneth Dixon, GOAT. Chris Ashcraft. I'm just going to assume that's...
Fan that turned into a Steelers fan.
Okay. Yeah, just I was going to assume that's just a troll because there's no way that's happening. We have one. What are the chances RG3 starts over Flacco and Jackson? Zero. That's also from Chris Ashcraft. I should have read that first.
Yeah, good job, Matt. You're good at this. Proud of you, buddy.
What are your thoughts on Urban from Marcus? I'm going to butcher last name. Weich?
You can call him Old Guy.
Old Guy. All right.
Yeah, that's Old Guy.
What are our thoughts on Urban?
He's one of the admins in my group.
Awesome. All right, so you know, Lindsay, what are you thinking on Urban?
Like I said, he is a giant dude. I think he's obviously made an impact when he's healthy. I just think his biggest obstacle is staying healthy this year. But otherwise, I think he'd be a great asset. And I think they kind of gave him like a wait and see deal this year for that purpose alone. So I think that was smart of the Ravens to do. But I also think that he definitely can contribute as long as he doesn't get hurt.
Okay, how about you, Michael? What are you thinking on Urban?
It's right along the same lines, man. He, like I said earlier, he started to come on really strong there before he got hurt. I think if he can do that again and really show out, he will be probably the most underrated piece of our defense. He is a giant human being. Just seeing him there, for his size, he is sneaky fast. He can get to the quarterback. He can take blocks. He can – God, these kids. Can you hear that? That's terrible. Just like murdering.
They're excited, man. They're excited for the podcast.
They probably just got doped up on Sugar Rush or something. I lost my spot. I'm all in on Urban. I think Urban is going to be the most underrated piece of our defense this year.
Yeah. I also, going off of, I know it's like not a good thing to get hurt, especially when you're a Raven, but it also, him not being on the field a lot, like other teams don't know what to expect from him, I think. That's kind of like a positive from being hurt. I'm just trying to spin this any possible way because it's so depressing.
Yeah, we got a chance to talk to him a few weeks ago, get a little exclusive interview with him, and the guy he was talking about how healthy he is now. He's getting into it. He's getting back in shape, and that he was really spoke highly of the strength and conditioning program and how that's affecting him overall. So hopefully we see him healthy. But watching him in training camp over the years and watching him in practices and stuff, you know, again, I spoke highly of his ability to take up passing lanes, but it really is just, it does not tell the whole story on that. He routinely tips the ball. A few years ago, I'd say probably a third of the interceptions were just from him tipping a ball up in the air because he's giant. And when you've got a 6'6" guy who's 300 pounds and is pretty slim, like you said, Michael, he's actually a lot faster than you'd give him credit for. He's getting there. So, you know, we'll see. Hopefully he's able to stay healthy. But if he is, he's a guy that's going to be dominant on that defensive line. And a guy that's is going to be selling a lot of jerseys all of a sudden if he is able to stay healthy. So hopefully that's the case. Oh, there you go.
I want this Alex Collins question.
All right. Do you think Alex Collins is the real deal, or is he another flash in the pan like Forsett and West? And that's from Nathan Herman. We'll start with you since you won.
I am going to toot my own horn here for a little while, and I am going to tell everybody that when the options were Jeremy Langford and Alex Collins, and everybody wanted Jeremy Langford to be brought up from the practice squad, I wanted Alex Collins. If you watch his Arkansas tape and you watch the little bit of tape that he had in Seattle, you knew that this was coming. The kid is an incredible runner. He has force, power, and speed. Plus, he's shifty and makes good decisions all at once. You cannot teach that. You cannot teach that combination of skills. All right. Sometimes he gets a little too patient, but he can turn negative plays. You saw it over and over again. He can turn plays from nothing into a touchdown. He's not a flash in the pan like Justin Forsett. Justin Forsett bounced around to what, like 8 teams before he came to us. Yeah. Nobody thought he was going to be good. And that was when, 2015, he was good? Right? Am I right there?
Yeah, about that. 2016, 2015.
Alex is a completely different type of runner than West or Forsett. Forsett and West had size. They had power. They didn't have good decision-making. They didn't have good speed. Alex Collins has all that. Plus, he shows that he's coachable. West never got better. Forsett never got better. They never changed things to make themselves better. Alex Collins has done that continually. That's why you saw the fumbling start to go away. That's why you saw his blocking start to get better. You start to see his hands catching passes out of the backfield get better. You saw him, the more he played, get stronger. So by that logic, he's going to be better than Forsett or West could ever hope to be.
All right, let me quickly interject on that one. So Forsett really just never got a chance. He was always behind some pretty premier running backs at every spot he was at. And he had pretty good decision-making. He just never was able to be the whole package. And that was kind of his knock throughout his career. He did well, especially here in Baltimore for the short period that he was here. But, yeah, I mean, Forsett wasn't the guy to begin with. So, I'll half agree with you on that one. Lindsay, how do you feel about Collins?
I like him. Again, like I mentioned earlier, I don't think he's going to have as good of a year this year as he did last year, just because it was kind of like the surprise factor last year that I think kind of got him. Everybody expected Terrence West to be like the guy last year, which is sad in itself. Yeah. But him just coming out and doing that when nobody expected to kind of added to his like flair, I guess. And I'm not saying I'm not like holding that against him or anything, because I think he's great. I definitely think he's the guy this year, and possibly like going forwards, but it's just, I don't have as big of expectations for him this year because I don't want to be like let down, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I, like, that being said, like, I do, on the other hand, expect more than like a Justin Forsett to answer that question. Because I feel like Alex Collins can kind of like build on it, whereas Justin Forsett kind of just ran in place. No pun intended.
Right. And yeah, I absolutely agree. So yes, I agree that like the league will have tape on him this year, but at the same time, he should also have a better offensive line, which should help. Plus, we have a year under our belt on how to use Alex Collins, which should help counter that. And he's a lot younger than Forsett was when we had Forsett. So I think you're right. He can move the chains, so to speak, as opposed to, you know, not like Justin Forsett did. So I agree with you, but also argue with you a little bit.
So where I'll disagree slightly is in the fact that, you know, I think Collins had a really good first year, as evident by his stats. And I did like the fact that he constantly improved. But one thing that I'm a little bit concerned of, we've seen this in this league plenty of times, guys suddenly fall off the face of the planet. And Baltimore's offensive line was really good last year compared to what we've seen in recent years. To say they're going to get better, that might be a bit of a leap. Even with Yanda back in, that still might be a bit of a leap for them to go ahead and improve that much to counteract any of the other stuff. I'm kind of in a wait-and-see type of thing. I like his feet, I like his vision, I like his patience, and I like all the physical things about him. But I've liked other running backs with all the physical tools, too, who aren't able to go ahead and turn it on. Terrence West is another one of those guys that came into this league with a lot of the physical tools necessary to do it, and here he is not on the Ravens team. Trent Richardson's another big one. I mean, it happens every single year. We always talk about a guy who is supposed to be a Pro Bowler and is now backing up somebody on the CFL.
This year it's Saquon Barkley.
I'm not gonna take that bait, but but yeah, you know, I'm in a wait and see type of thing. So somebody did mention Andy Sakara did mention that Forsett was only decent because the Ravens offensive line and Kubiak's zone blocking run scheme. That's a really good point to make. Forsett had his best year the same year that Flacco had his best year, and that was because of Kubiak. So we'll see what happens in terms of that, but you have to like the fact that Collins is playing for circus peanuts at this point.
Yeah.
So I had a good question on Twitter. When is 8 going to get the start over 5?
Oh, you beat me to it.
Flacco. Preseason games for sure, question mark. Yes, preseason games for sure. And spoiler alert, that's the only time you're going to see him start this year.
Yep.
Unless Flacco gets hurt.
Yeah, as much as fans keep wanting to push that narrative, it's not going to happen. I mean, the Ravens have explicitly said that's not the case. And that's not a team that will go out on a limb like that very often and then backtrack all of a sudden. They've been pushing
them
hard.
Unless it's Ray Rice.
Yeah, that's we don't bring up his name in conversation anymore. No, you're good.
Sorry, that was very 2015 in me.
That was. Jackson isn't going to start this year. You have a chance next year with Flacco's cap increase, but then again, it's not a huge amount of money that they'd get back anyway. They're going to sit him. They've got 5 years. They've got some time to go ahead and let Jackson develop as a quarterback over being just a running back or a running quarterback. Let him go ahead and develop his skills. There's no rush to start him anytime soon. He's a playmaker. I think we all can admit that. But
One thing that some people might not know about me. So I live in Louisville. I have had the opportunity to see Lamar Jackson play live many times. I got to go to the Cardinals Pro Day, all that stuff. I really hope Jackson proves me wrong. I'll just leave it at that. I hope that Lamar Jackson is not who I think Lamar Jackson is.
I'm going to counter that real quick.
Is, everybody's like obsession with this. Yeah. Like,
if there is one position group besides inside linebacker that I have no faith in, that every single one of them need to prove me wrong, it is quarterback.
That's fair. I mean, Lindsay, do you have something to say about that?
No, I just don't get this whole like obsession with Jackson versus Flacco. That's not how it should be, and it just annoys me to no end how people just automatically, like I mentioned before, how people automatically just assume because he got picked first in the draft that he's going to start because Flacco had a bad year last year. Like, you have to take into account every reason why Flacco had a bad year last year.
Correct.
It's not just him. It's not, like, do you really think, like, Jackson, given, like, what Flacco was given last year, is going to have a good year? No, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, it's...
Well,
it's,
what do you mean? They had the overpowering trio of Mike Wallace, Jeremy Maclin, and Rashad Berryman.
You mean when all three were able to stay on the field at the same time for, like, two games?
Right. They were obviously the greatest wide receiver trio in the league.
That's the continual battle that I think we face as reporters, as people in the media, is that constant question of, you know, Flacco elite or not. I don't care about that question as a whole, but there is the point of going, like, look, he didn't have a running game for a couple of years. I mean, again, he was going into this season with Terrence West expected to be the starter. Not a knock necessarily on West, but he's not a starter. The offensive line has been a little shoddy at times. His best wide receivers, what, a 35-year-old Steve Smith.
Right.
You know,
Derek Mason.
Yeah, Derek, what, 2008? I mean, if we're going back a decade, then, you know, that's something. But,
well, you read my article. One of the ones that I gave to you before you hired me, like, I wrote a Joe Flacco elite or not article back in 2015. And at the end of it, I was like, no, he's not elite. Like, he's just a guy. He's just a guy. Plus, he's got some deep ball skills.
Yeah.
Sorry. He's
somebody that has, because he came on suddenly in the playoffs in the Super Bowl and then got a giant contract, he became the talk of the NFL, and then he didn't back it up in the following years, partially because the Ravens gutted the rest of the offense and tried to see if he couldn't just go ahead and throw to Rice 400 times a game. And that's a large part of it. Flacco's never had the type of offense that guys like Matt Ryan, Derek Carr, Tom Brady... it's the one guy you're going to compare him to every single
but
time.
But to that point, Matt Ryan has always had a fire offense, man, and has done absolutely
nothing with it. Thank you.
And he plays in a dome, too, if you want to go ahead and go even further. He's a guy that doesn't have to play in the conditions that Flacco does. He has an amazing offense.
All these Falcons fans that want to say Matt Ryan's better, like, just take
it. There's only, like, five of them. So
that's true. Yeah, they were all Patriots fans after a couple years ago. Like, he's had so much, and the Falcons defense has been, like, sneaky good, so there's no excuse for Matt Ryan.
He's had a top 10 O-line for the past 5 years.
Yeah, there's no excuse for Matt Ryan. So we got a couple more questions here that we should probably get to. Is Weddle overrated? We're just going to ignore the Marine, go eat crayons.
You know
Matt
what?
Judon.
Wait a second. Actually, I will discuss that. I think a little bit, and I'm going to get tons of hate for this. I'm already expecting the DMs and the notifications are coming, but I think a lot of Ravens fans give Weddle this Ed Reed-like treatment. He's not there. He's good. He's really, really good. He's Pro Bowl worthy. He plays, he gets the accolades professionally that I think he deserves, but he's not phenomenal. He's not a Hall of Fame guy. He's a guy that's made plenty of mistakes.
He's not somebody that when he does something, you like jump up off your couch, or he's not a guy that like, he wouldn't be a guy that I would consider like fun to watch. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I get it. So, to touch on the Ed Reed comment first, nobody ever in my earshot should compare Weddle to Ed Reed, because Ed Reed, and I'm going to catch hate for this because there's a man named Ray Lewis that might have something to say about it. Ed Reed's the best player that this team ever had. He was a game changer. He was fun to watch. He had the defensive leadership qualities that Ray Lewis had. He was an absolute beast. People feared Ed Reed. Offensive coordinators had to game plan for Ed Reed. You can't compare Eric Weddle to that. That's just unfair. Eric Weddle is a workhorse. He is a very good safety.
Yeah.
I think going off of those people, yes, they are overrating Eric Weddle. However, there's that opposite end of the spectrum, like we talked about earlier, that people are like, oh, Eric Weddle's a bum. I saw so many people say that we should cut Eric Weddle. Like, right when the season was over, they were, cut Eric Weddle. Cut. Why? Who are you going to replace him with?
Chuck Clark? That's kind of the question there is you're not cutting him. But I do think his coverage skills aren't nearly as good as a lot of people give him credit for either. You know,
he's slow
and he's old. I mean, let's be honest. He's old. How many years does he have left? Maybe in his prime he was that good, but I think he does get a lot more praise than is probably warranted. I kind of feel the same way about Brandon Williams too, to a certain degree, but
yeah, so do I.
That's, you know, this is, again, is that extreme of Ravens fans. Either he's got to be cut, or he's a Hall of Famer, might as well just give it to him now. There's that middle ground. He's an okay cover guy. He makes big plays, which is great, but, you know, he's not Ed Reed, and that's okay.
Sorry. There's a dirty joke on Twitter about our feed. Adam B. from RSR caught our live feed at 69 comments.
Beautiful.
And decided to screenshot it. Yeah. So we have more questions here. Starting center is going to be either Matt Skura or Nico Siragusa.
I'm throwing Alex Lewis into that mix. I think they tested it out a little bit throughout.
Careful, if you throw Alex Lewis, he is going to get injured.
Well, yeah, as soon as we bring him up, he's probably getting hurt right now, in all fairness. But I like Alex Lewis. I think he's a great player. And I think if he's healthy, he's a guy that very well could push for that starting job, even though it's not really who he is as a player. I don't think he's a center, but I don't trust Skura or anybody else to kind of snag that job this year. But he's got to be healthy.
Yeah. Knock on wood. That was me knocking.
All right, so you know what? It's 1:23. We've been in it for an hour and 23 minutes. You know what? Why don't we go ahead and call it quits here? Save your questions for our next episode, which should be like next week or so.
Tell them about the hashtag so we can find the questions.
Oh man, you know what? That's a you thing now. I completely gave that over to you. I think it's hashtag Ravens Q&A.
Yeah,
is that what
I
we
think
said?
That probably already
the answer symbol doesn't come through. I don't think
it does not. So let's do. Can we do a hashtag B as in boy, S as in Sam, E as in Echo, Q. Spell out the word and A. So Baltimore Sack Exchange Q&A.
BSEQ and A. All right. Yeah. We'll
spell
try that
out. The word and please.
Yeah. It will not go ahead and keep it going. So. Or just flat out tweet at us. That's probably one of the easier ways to do it. But try to go ahead and do that. And we'll try to go ahead and answer your questions on a regular basis throughout these podcasts. Again, this is the Baltimore Sack Exchange. This is the first episode. And we'll be posting up details about how to catch us every single week, every single episode. So you get all the news as it happens. And of course, our amazing opinions because we're the best.
Right, we have a bunch of different personalities, so strap in.
Yes. All right, I'm Matthew, we have Lindsay, we have Michael. Thanks very, very much for joining us, everybody, and have a wonderful 4th of July.
Yeah, don't pull a JPP. Keep your hands intact.